You're listening to a podcast from 702.
On the line with me now is fellow journalist Karima Brown. Karima, thanks so much. I know that you are extremely busy as a fellow essential worker, but thanks for taking a couple of minutes out. There was a very specific issue that I wanted to discuss with you. One of the most difficult things of this moment is that as human beings, from a psychological point of view, we tend to adjust our behavior not when we know intellectually that something is dangerous and requires of us to do certain things and make certain changes in our behavior, but sadly, many of us only change our behavior when things are close to home, and then we go, OMG, this is not just something happening out there. I better now start complying. And there are tough conversations that emanate immediately from the reality that we can't afford to wait until you know your neighbor has been hospitalized with COVID-19, or you personally know someone, heaven forbid, who has passed on. We need to be ahead of that scenario, and that requires some really tough messaging to be internalized.
Absolutely, Eusebius. Thank you for having me. I think if one looks at behavioral psychology and changing behavior, most human beings only change their behavior if they are frightened, if it's about self-interest. And often that happens when it's too late. So we have a very real situation where a lot of people, particularly poor people in South Africa at the moment, were only paid yesterday. And that is why we're seeing in places like Vandgate in Western Cape, in Soweto, here in Johannesburg, in Alexandria, in Esterus, people queuing at shops to buy food. And of course, the lockdown is already in process. And many people are saying, but I can't get chicken at my spaza shop. I have to come out of my area. And of course, the Minister of Justice was very clear in saying the spaza shops closest to you are actually where you're going to have to buy and you're going to have to eat differently. And I think that that reality hasn't actually gotten to people yet, that they are not able to live their lives in the same way as is possible. The lockdown is in place, which means you literally cannot leave your area. But the reality is also that people are worried about their children, whether they can feed them, whether they can clothe them adequately during this time, whether they are able to stay in their homes if their rent is behind. And that is why we actually need everybody on board now to ask themselves, what is it if I do, going to a shop? Am I putting myself at risk? Am I putting my children at risk? Should I be able to prepare them one meal instead of three meals? Those are the real, real hard questions we have to ask. And it's not going to be easy, Eusebius, but we have to do it. Otherwise, people are going to die, as two people already have. And let's remember this. The two people who have died are both under 50 years old.
That's the thing. And I was speaking just this morning to one of my listeners, 29-year-old, very healthy, goes to the gym regularly, and had traveled to London, thought that she was being cautious, just hugged her friend and could have been infected that way. Fortunately, a mild version. We wish Naledi a speedy recovery. But there you had someone who's 29-year-old, no underlying conditions. No one is immune to this thing. It doesn't care for your age, your disease profile, your class positionality, or where, in terms of apartheid spatial planning, you are located in any of our cities or dorps around the country. The other tough conversation is movements away from the provinces. Yeah. I'm broadcasting from literally the suburb that is the worst hit on a suburb-by-suburb analysis. Mm. I could, if I really wanted to leave out of fear for my own well-being and go to the Eastern Cape. I don't think that would have been a helpful thing to do. I also don't want to be unkind to a family that tries to do the best for their own family. And yet at the same time, I think to myself, well, what is in the country's interest is also in my individual interest. But these are really tough tensions, Karima. How do we navigate that? For example, what if you have someone who's critically ill, or heaven forbid, not even related to COVID-19, you have a loved one tomorrow that dies, say, in the Western Cape? Do you travel or do you stay put in Joburg?
You stay put, Eusebius. This is the tragedy. If when your traditions as a community and as a culture actually acts against you when a pandemic like this breaks out. Let's take Italy, for example. Italians are known for their family structures pretty much like ours. They have big gatherings, their parties are big, their funerals are big, their weddings are big. They have a very similar cultural traditions as ours, and they were the epicenter until America took over from today onward of this disease, and they had the same response. They didn't adhere to the lockdown. They wanted to look after their grandmothers, their gogos, their aunties, their uncles, and they spread the disease in that way. We saw in the last 2 days, 3 days, when the president said the lockdown would kick in as from Thursday midnight, people leaving in droves on taxis. You are not helping your family. In fact, you are making them more vulnerable. We saw, for example, people traveling long distances. You are not allowed to leave the provinces. Since the president made the declaration of disaster, provincial, interprovincial travel was already supposed to have come to a halt.
Absolutely.
So even if someone dies, and I know this is not easy to hear, you are not allowed to travel. The regulation says 50 people at the funeral, and the police minister was very specific. He said that number could change. At the moment in Germany, you are only allowed to meet outside your house with 2 people. In Italy, we've seen funerals with a priest and 1 family member, and that is not just because people don't respect tradition. It is because people are literally dying in the families. So you need to do no harm. That is the first thing that needs to be considered. And we have to accept that our way of life has come to an end. The way we have done things for all these years have now changed. Because
Absolutely.
This virus doesn't need you to kiss anyone. It doesn't need you to hug anyone. It just needs you to touch the tabletop. It needs you to touch the railing. It needs you to touch the lift, and then you can get it. It lives on surfaces, Eusebius.
Which is why that analogy from someone on your wall was so useful. Just summarize that, and then we'll end at the glitter analogy.
Absolutely. It's like when you go to a party and you put glitter on, and you spread that glitter. Imagine where that glitter goes. If you are in any radius close to that person, it's likely that you will have that glitter on your hand. And that is what happens with corona. It's literally human contact of any kind, and the fact that we live in a world where we're constantly touching things, opening doors of cars, of taxis, of buses, when we go down the lift, when we go down the stairs, when we open our gates, there is where the virus lives. So the only place where you can be safe and where you can control your environment is the structure that you live in, whether that is a home of bricks, whether it is a pondoki, whether it is a zozo. It doesn't really matter. You can then clean that surface, you can disinfect it, and you can control it. But the minute you step outside of your house, you are not in control of those surfaces. And
that's right.
That is why there is a lockdown.
That's right, yeah. Very sobering, but very important. Thank you, Karima.
Thank you, Eusebius.
That's Karima Brown. And I'm not even sure in which capacity I'm chatting to her there. I think citizenship, that's the most important thing. We have roles that we are playing. And of course, I'm at work as a broadcaster, media classified as essential. But I really think in this moment in time, globally, not just South African specific, we are called upon to demonstrate deep commitment to citizenship and really reflect on what that means, not philosophically only, but behaviorally for you right now.